Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Picks.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast. You can find our show exclusively on the Podcast One app on podcastonesports.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Hey, man, before we get started with CarCast, let me tell you about Amazon Automotive. Shop auto parts, tools, accessories quickly and easily. Do it from your phone. Do it from your computer. Do it from your tablet. Plus, free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selections of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. This I did not know. I knew all this other stuff, like they have top brands like K&N and Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, and more. But I didn't know tires. Smart Amazon, so smart. Tired of looking up part numbers, reading catalogs with Amazon? All you need is the year, make, and model, and you're off and running. Use customer Q&A and product reviews to research and buy the right part the first time. So go to Amazon.com/autodeals. That's Amazon.com/autodeals. Start your shopping today. Amazon Automotive. All right, let's get going with the show. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, man. Welcome to another CarCast. I'm Adam Kroltz, Matt the Moderator, DeAndre over there.
Hello.
Yeah, man. Lots to get into. Lots to get into.
I got my hair cut.
Looking good.
Yeah, I like to groom for success.
I groom for success as well because I got my hair cut yesterday as well. I just took my RCS hat on off. Somebody made me a Restless Cock Syndrome hat, so I got an RCS hat.
We'll be making some merch soon.
We'll be making some merch. So, I don't know if you – here's a power move. I do two power moves. Well, one power move is if I'm at a restaurant, somebody drops a glass behind me, I don't turn around.
Yeah.
I've got better things to do, and I have a complete context in my mind for what happened.
Right.
It's a place with lots of glasses and trays.
It's more polite not to turn around.
I would argue it is. I would argue.
You could clap and be that guy, but why?
I would argue that if you took a group of people and you dropped a tray with some glasses on it, and you showed me, and we got to film it, and I got to monitor how everyone reacted, I could pick out the people I wanted to hang out with. The clapping guy, I don't want to hang out with that guy.
No.
The person that turned around and somehow grafted themselves into it, like, oh my God, like that person, I could not hang with that person. The person just continued their conversation.
You don't even like to check for blood?
I don't even like the one who jumps. Those people, they have a nervous wiring.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to hang out with them. I just, the people, the guy or gal who continues their conversation as if nothing happened, I could hang with that person.
Okay. Yeah.
So
you're not going to hang with a lot of people.
That's the point. That's the point. Now, wait a minute. What was I talking about?
There was a point too.
Yes. Wait a minute. Like, I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
I drunk person.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Leno's Garage. I want to talk about that.
Which we haven't seen because we're in the studio now and it's going to air tomorrow. But by the time you're listening to it, we would have seen it.
Right.
We know it kind of happened. We don't know how it got edited together.
Right. All right. Sorry. What did I start talking about?
Haircut.
Too many podcasts. Oh, Okay, thank you.
Grooming for success.
My two moves, thank you. My two power moves is I don't turn.
Yeah.
I don't turn. Three power moves. Don't turn when a glass breaks.
Yeah.
When the woman who's cutting my hair says, how do you like it in the back? You like it squared off or you like it round? I go, what is it now?
Yeah.
And she goes, it's kind of round. I go, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Or however it is you want to do it, go do it. And then at the end, when she grabs the mirror and goes, I go, no. That part where you have to look at the back of my head? Like, no. No for two reasons. One, there's nothing we're going to do about this.
Right.
Two, it's the back of my head, so it's not like I see it.
Right.
And three, I kind of trust you to do your job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have any notes.
But the guy that cuts my hair has been doing it for 20 years. He's the guy that drives the Mercedes AMG GT launch edition.
Yeah.
You had an Aston Martin before that.
Yeah.
You don't have the discussion. Like, he gives you the haircut and you leave. You give him a bunch of money and then you leave. Like, it is the way it is. You know, there's no, like, mirror in the back of the head. What do you want?
Too highfalutin for me.
No, man. I just go, and he just does it. And there's no argument. I just trust that it looks okay, and I leave. And I'll see you in 3 weeks. Every 3 weeks.
I'm paying every 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
ROTC, man. I'm paying significantly more for a haircut now than I was when I lived in these neck of the woods, and I'd go to model cuts. You know, they service models because, A, they're called model cuts, and, B, there's pictures of models from the 80s and early 90s in the window.
Yeah.
Now, my timing has been bad because I've been going there for 12 years, and I've never seen anything above a 3 walk in or out of that place.
Yeah.
But they still call themselves model cuts.
Well, it's kind of like celebrity cleaners. Like, who is so proud about their dry cleaning business that they only dry clean for celebrities? And whatever celebrity has ever gone there, not like their assistant or nanny or something. Like, no,
I feel like
no
Stallone
has
like pulled a bakery ticket and he's standing around just waiting
and
waiting.
He celebrity bakers.
Yes. That is a $12 haircut, and there's no problemo with it, with the kind of pubes I have on my head.
I don't mean to be a one-upper, but there is a nice $10 place that I go to just down the street from here.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you got to turn me on to that place.
Yeah. I'll take you. We'll go together.
Now, I gotta get a little texture and a little styling going and...
No, you can do the $10 an hour, the $10 place.
The guy in the Air Force base used to cut my hair for $7, and then he would take the straight edge to clean the neck because, you know, in uniform, you're not supposed to have any hair touch the collar.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd get the straight, but he was an old man, and he would just shake. Like, there's no way you're getting out of there without bleeding. Every time, you're bleeding. But the good news is he slaps on some of that really intense... like aftershave kind of crap that's something blue, and he slaps it on your cuts on the way out. So you're just like, ah!
He's cauterizing it.
It's kind of like what's happening.
It is. It's what those diptych pencils are for. So now it's a $22 haircut.
What?
And I'm not worth that. I'm just not. I talked to my parents about it, and they're like, what? You? No. Come on. So we'll go $10.
Yeah.
Because the thing about me is I don't really care what I look like that much, number one. Number two, I can wear a ball cap. Number three, it's pretty much just buzz the sides and leave the top a little longer. There's not much you can do that's that different with my particular hair. The guys, also, I don't want to be sitting in that seat any longer than I need to be. And when you're making 10 bucks an hour, you got to turn them and burn them, man. You can't be sitting there day long. You got to move.
It can't be 10 bucks an hour.
Like, no.
You got to do
volume.
Four people
in
an hour.
You
got to
do a 12-minute haircut. And I always tell them, like, when they always do that. You want the clippers, you want the scissors. I go, whatever's faster. Because I look at every minute.
No clippers for me.
Every minute I'm sitting in that chair is a waste of my life.
I know. I always just go, I trust you.
Yeah. I trust you. I just tell them I trust them. Go. Just go whatever. And it's kind of an interesting human wiring because my hair and everyone's hair, my hair grows fast. But whatever it is they did to your hair, it will be undone by nature in about 2.5 weeks. So
wait, you've been going to the same place?
I'll go anywhere.
I'm just curious, if you keep going to the same place, why do they say clippers or scissors or do you want round neck? Like, just do what you did last time and the time before that.
Yeah, but I go the place that has the revolving cast of depressing single moms.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. So nobody in there has worked there more than 6 weeks.
They're always...
it's a high
always,
turnover.
Well, not only that, but different shifts, different days, yeah, different times. And there's also multiple hair cutters.
Yeah.
So...
okay.
I got to go in there. I bring Phil. So I walk Phil with me.
Yeah.
And then...
so you walk in the neighborhood, you walk to go get the haircut.
Too, I like walking to get the haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Then my only sort of snowflake move is I don't like the little bits and pieces, especially with the clipper of the miniature hair that's still in my head. And whatever they do with the dusting off, it's never quite good. I always ask them if I could use the sink and kind of give it a couple passes with my hands, all the stuff that sticks to your hands, you know, and then rinse it, and then give it another just to see if I can get the last bit out.
Yeah.
Because I don't
like
walk around with the scratchy under the shirt.
You don't
and that
go,
kind
like go home, jump in the pool or something?
I jumped in the pool.
I know not shower, but I was.
I always bother those bitches so much. They hate me because they're like, what kind of shampoo and conditioner do you use? I go, never
once.
I don't touch it. And they go,
it's
oh
got
my
a touch
God.
Of chlorine.
They go, oh my God. And I go, that's for suckers. That stuff's made up. It's for stupid people. And they're like, you don't use shampoo? Now, how do you get your hair clean? I go, take a hot shower every day. But what conditioner? I'm like, you don't need it. It's made up. It's made up. It's literally made up. It's like the shampoo takes off a bunch of stuff your hair needs, and then the conditioner puts it back. Or you could just not use the stuff that takes it off, and you'd be completely fine. And there's no way nature or God or anything had anything in mind for us to be like lathering up and scrubbing ourselves every day. And by the way, all the scrubbing does is make you produce more to replace. It's scrubbing your face, scrubbing your hair, scrubbing. And every goddamn study that ever comes out about this goddamn subject says two things. It says $17 Pantene is the same as $3 Schwab. That's the first thing it says. And then the next thing it says is we use it way too much. There's way too much of us bathing and sudsing and cleaning and soap. We don't need this at all. And if you tell any woman this, they go, that's gross. And I go, all right, stupid. And then I'll get on with my life. That's how it is. There's no way. Everything I've ever said about this always is true. Everyone will tweet me an article and they'll go, we use way too much of this stuff. You don't need it. Take a hot shower every day. That's it. If you think you might get a blowjob, hit the pube patch with a little liquid soap. You know, keep it fresh. That's it. There's no way scrubbing. So I've never used soap. I don't use soap. I don't use soap on my face. I don't wash my face. I don't clean my face. I don't do anything of any sort of cleansing nature to my face ever. It's not part of anything. I take a hot shower for about 20 seconds in the morning after I get out of the swimming pool, and that's it. That's it. If you look at my face as a 53-year-old man, and then you show a guy who's been scrubbing since he was in high school, and you look at my face, you look at his face, you cannot see a discernible difference. My skin will probably look better because it's not been agitated and irritated every night with the scrubs and the stuff.
But do you think everybody has these genetics? I think you just got good genes because, I mean, they're guys that, you know, that smell.
Well, whatever good genes you have, you didn't wash them away.
Yeah. Well, you don't stink, but there are guys that do stink.
There's some guys that need to shower.
I get it. Then we're getting on to cars.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There are guys that stink. I would argue that soaping the stink away is not really to get the stink away. Hot water's pretty good at everything you need with the armpits and the groin and everything else. You don't need to scrub. Your face doesn't stink, so you don't need to scrub your face. But I get it. You want to hit a little, you get a little sack funk going. Hey, I'm not above that. I get a little sack funk going. I'll hit a little soap down there. I'm not saying no soap anywhere. Armpits and all, that's fine, but it's good. You don't need the hair and the shampoo. Now, if you have super greasy hair, oily hair, then that's something you're going to have to sort of consult an expert with. But the daily shampoo, like there are people who go, I take two showers a day. And you go, why? And they go, I don't feel clean. It's like that. Yeah. You're not helping yourself.
Maybe they just like to jerk off a lot in the shower.
You know what? That's exactly what they're doing.
That's a two shower a day.
Sometimes three showers in a day, like if you want to keep it clean.
All right. So, Leno, we haven't seen it yet. It looked pretty good. They sent a clip over, and we got to go around the track with the helicopter in the air and stuff like that, and look at the car going around the track with the helicopter and everything. So that was kind of cool. Engine blew up. Having some difficulty.
It starts off with Leno coming to the garage. Part one, segment one. Leno comes to the garage, looks at the collection, and we kind of focus on a Newman car, right? And then the idea is, which I thought was great, and it's probably our idea, and said, how would Adam do in Sonoma on the same racetrack that Newman drove in the same car? How would your time compare to Paul Newman's time?
Right. And my first thought when we were discussing this idea was, man, if we could get down to Laguna Seca, I might stand a chance because I've done multiple laps in that car at Laguna Seca.
Right.
And I know exactly what my best time would be. And I know that I could get that thing to about a 136 on a good lap would be a 136 at Laguna Seca in that car. And I also know what everyone else kind of runs, professional drivers, guys in 935s and guys in Decon Monzas and, you know, Roush Mustangs and stuff like that. And I know that you're just not going to do much better, professional driver or not. I could do much better in like
you
a
say
135.
You run, okay,
in
so
that
135.
Car.
All of your times up to this point basically have been during a practice session or a race. But we went out and you had the opportunity at Sonoma for the show was to get on the track by yourself and lay down some time. So do you think you can
cut
a second off?
Not good for me. I'm much better following somebody or in a race or in a situation where I'm around people for some reason.
So probably not going to make that much
better. Alone, I'm not really any better alone. A little slower usually alone. But then the problem was, so I was like, all right, so if I could do Laguna Seca, maybe Paul, because Paul's got a race team and they're setting up the car and you're down there practicing and qualifying and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I thought, maybe I could get a couple seconds off his time or something. But Laguna Seca, they reconfigured the track since back in the day.
That's right.
So they can't run at Laguna Seca. So the next one is Sonoma. If anyone's ever heard me say anything about Sonoma and me being fast on it or knowing it or anything other than it's sort of confusing and it's too technical and I'm super slow there, then that's the answer. Cause it's like somebody going, oh, this, I went from when I was thinking about Laguna Seca, I was like, I don't even have to go. I can tell you what the time is.
I can tell you what the time is, yeah.
And then it went to Sonoma, and it was like, I'm so incredibly slow there, or I was, and it was so technical, and there's a lot to learn. And they also have a fair amount of concrete barrier in that track.
They do,
too.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to – not the kind of thing you want to take your nice car and get it up against. But – I said, okay, anyway. what I did know, and it's not talked about in the Leno's Garage episode, is I knew I was going to be there earlier in the day testing the 935 Porsche. And I knew that I would get multiple laps in the passenger seat of the 935 and doing like a lead follow and all of that. And so I knew.
It was a good day for us to go out there and test the 935 for the first time. And then also film an episode of Jay Leno's Garage all in one day. So it made sense to go.
You're right. Remember the snafu was I had all my driving equipment in the truck. Those guys were running a little bit late bringing up the Z car. And thus, I couldn't get in the 935 because I didn't have any of my
stuff.
That's
right, yeah.
It was a little bit frustrating, but I
forgot about that part.
I got into it a little bit later after lunch or whatever, and I got some lap time in the 935, which then got me acclimated to the track a little bit.
Right.
I was able to get in 20 laps before that, which was very helpful, because if I just got in a Z car and went back to the track that I'm no good at and didn't know very well, it would have just been a complete disaster. The other part, though, is two significantly different cars just climbing out of the rear engine car into the front engine tube frame car.
Yeah.
A little bit different. You could really feel the difference as you climb from one to the next.
Physically bigger, like just a much bigger, wider car. So some of your turning points and how what you can see over the hood has to be quite a bit different in that car. But
yeah, and so my plan was to get into this car, which I drove it at the hill climb at Goodwood, but I never really drove it on a track, and I also drove the sister car, so I had some idea about how the car was, and the notion was to get it up to temperature and get up to speed. And what I had sort of planned in my head is, because I was coming off the 935 and into the Z, I was not going to get in and start going too early and too often. I was going to go around it once.
Yeah, get a little heat in the tires.
Get the car up to temp in there. And kind of get situated. And then I was going to start trying to knock off, you know, 4 or 5 seconds or 3 or 4 seconds a lap each lap.
Yeah.
Until maybe the fifth or sixth lap,
yeah,
I could lay down a good time. I wasn't going to.
If you watch the trailer of the show, that's exactly what you were doing, because there's the scene in the trailer where Leno's like, yeah, he ran this, and then he just took 4 seconds off, and then he's getting a little faster and through each lap.
But that was my plan, but then I don't think I would have got down to Paul's time. I would have got down to something respectable in the neighborhood of Paul's time, not 2 seconds, 10 seconds off of Paul's time or whatever it is. I would have picked it up eventually, but the car ended up blowing up. And it didn't seem like the car blew up at the time, but it did. And it's a picture of us looking at the car. It doesn't look like it, but I can tell you from very uncomfortable conversations I've been having about O-rings that aren't made anymore.
Yeah.
And we may have to just take the engine out and redeck the whole block.
I heard that when I came in this morning.
O-rings that, well, I don't know if they make these gas-filled, compressible O-rings anymore. And the block was already milled for these things that may not exist, or they may not be able to get versions of anymore.
Yeah. I got to look into that first before we commit to cutting the block apart.
Depressing.
But, yeah, it is.
Call it depressing.
Yeah.
The engine had, you know, it's sad knowing everything, Matt. It's very difficult.
I don't want that burden.
It appeared, when we're in real time, it appeared like a nut just came off a pulley.
That's what it appeared like, but I'll tell you what happened.
And I kept saying, and everyone kept going, why didn't the idiot who built this engine tighten this nut down?
Yeah.
Or why didn't he use some Loctite or double nutted or something? And I just went, I wish and I hope it's just literally a nut came off a pulley and we'll just get a new nut and double nut it or something.
Yeah.
But I said nuts come off pulleys for reasons. Like sometimes when camshafts seize up and the thing keeps turning or something.
Yeah.
Like I said at the time, I said, before we call the guy who built this engine an idiot, let's also remember that sometimes stuff happens because other shit happens before it.
Yeah, of course.
And that's my fear. And as it turns out, they use like this epoxy clay shaping stuff when they're working on the ports and the intake and the heads.
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal. They use it when they race because it's good for four races, and then they got to buy a new head.
And they're trying to salvage, you know, nowadays they're trying to salvage an old set of heads, right? They're like, these have been ported too much, or there's some damage or whatever, and we're trying to sort of rebuild what was there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that clay that was in the ports, it obviously gets very hard.
It cycles.
Yeah.
But it gets very hard. Yes, sure.
And imagine like a piece of JB Weld, if you will.
A big piece.
And that came loose and I'm sure just hit a valve or tucked under a valve, and the valve had no place to go except the opposite direction. And that probably seized up the cam, and that's what broke off that nut, and the cam gear came off. But it started in the head, and this was a chain reaction of crap happening in the overhead cam and in that head, and the result is a damaged head.
Yes.
But no real damage to the piston or anything, so we had sent the heads out to get rebuilt. Actually, I think you had another set of heads that weren't as used or as ported and didn't have the epoxy in there. So the set of heads that have been redone, Robello redid the heads, apparently are going to be good with none of the epoxy and flow well. Like, he did a good job getting them, getting them ready. But now we have issues with getting them on the motor because there's a... They're O-ringed heads. We're running the turbo engine. We have an O-ringed head, and the block is O-ringed. And it's kind of this thicker kind of O-ring that has sort of like a gas pocket in it. And apparently nobody has that anymore. O-ring heads are everywhere. Like, we can get that. And we can get...
Yeah, and they have to compress. And
yeah.
I can't... first off, I think about this stuff all day, which is there. It looks like a ring. So, Max Pata, you drive a Prius. So I'll explain it to you.
All right.
Picture like a large earring on a very proud black woman, a woman of color. Picture big earring hoop, right?
I know the kind you're talking about.
Right. And now picture, instead of it being like round metal, it being like kind of flat metal, but still kind of the same size, same everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody hands it to you and it just feels like a hoop of metal. And then someone goes, yeah, they got gas in there. And you go, there's gas in there? Yeah, there's gas in there. Inside this hoop.
When we say gas, we don't mean fuel. We mean actual air. Air. Mm-hmm.
Air, like argon or something. And I go, why? How's that help the blackjack? And it's like, I don't know. They went gas, get gas in there. And you go, how do you even get gas in there? Like, how's it work? It's like, you take two threaded things and you spin them together and you bring them down and then you machine it down to this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could never make a thing with gas in it.
This is heat, really.
I don't know how it works, but evidently nobody makes those anymore. And the block has the female side of that and wants that hoop in it, and nobody makes it. And so if nobody's going to make that hoop, all you can do now is change the top of the block. And that ain't easy.
Well... because the thickness of that ring would require us to shave the block, deck the block down quite a bit, and it's going to significantly change the compression unless we also change the pistons to compensate.
Can't we just get a fat head gasket that raises the head up?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm upset.
Unless, here's another idea. Unless there's a way to not make the gas ring, but make a solid ring and then use it that way.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. That one, I don't know. I'd have to find it.
All right. Here's one we do know about. Amazon Automotive.
Yeah.
Shop auto parts, tools,
you should search gas rings on there and see what happens.
They got everything, but I'm guessing they don't have this stuff. Free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. We use this all day. I'm always taking Amazon boxes over to the other shop that show up here with car parts and stuff in it all the time. Massive selection of parts, accessories, tools, fluids, even tires. Brands like K&N, Bilstein, Chemical Guys, Bosch, and more. It's all there. Tired of looking up part numbers or reading catalogs? Amazon all you need to do is put the year, make, and model, get that logged in, and then when you punch up your car and figure out all the stuff you need for your car. They also have customer Q&A and product reviews, research, buy the right part. Matt uses these guys all day. I use these guys all day.
On the weekends when I'm messing around in the car, as I find I need parts, I add it in my Amazon app to my shopping cart, and then later I can go and buy it all at once.
Go to amazon.com/vehicles, find all the reviews and specs and everything. amazon.com/vehicles. So that's me driving around with Leno or on Leno's show. It was kind of cool the way they shot it with the helicopter and everything, made it look cool.
Yeah, they do a good job, and we like those guys. The crew is good. It's just we were looking for a little bit different result. Actually, we still haven't seen the episode, so we don't really know what the result is. I don't know how they're playing it, but this is what happened. The car is broken. We know that because it's sitting over there with no heads on it.
Yep. We had a nice flight back with Leno and his private jet. That was kind of fun. And then
it sounded fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris's seat had snacks and Jay's feet.
I like the rich man, poor man. Like, we were driving to the airport and like the private Sonoma airport, like through just, you know, wine country. Yeah. And Jay's like, there's a Chick-fil-A between here and there. It's like, you want to get a $2.99 sandwich between here and the private,
and your private airport.
I'll tell you one thing that unites everyone, the rich and the poor: fast food. Like Donald Trump.
Yeah, Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. If you said to any super rich person, if you said to a poor person, last meal, they'd go filet mignon and lobster tail. You said to a rich guy, last meal, it'd be In-N-Out, Chick-fil-A, right? Give me a double-double. Give me a quarter pounder. Like, I believe
if you ask Warren Buffett, like, he's famous for having his Coca-Cola every day and his, what's the chain he owns? Not Wendy's. He owns the ice cream, hot dog, whatever chain.
Dairy Queen? I don't know.
Dairy Queen. Oh, Dairy That's Queen. It. Right. See? Hey. Ice cream hot dogs. He picks it up. Chris, with the food.
Yeah. At the shoot, Leno's crew was even talking about how much he loves In-N-Out. Like, that was a topic of conversation.
It is very rich man, poor Manny, because I do believe that the middle class, while they eat fast food, are steered a little more toward the Applebee's or something. Whereas Jay's not going Applebee's. And poor guys ain't going Applebee's. They're going McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. Or Taco Bell or whatever. But it is kind of rich manny, poor man. And it's like, no matter how rich Donald Trump is, he's on Air Force One and he wants KFC.
Yeah. But he wants it on Air Force One.
Right. All right. All right. So, Leno wanted to know if there was a Chick-fil-A between the track and the airport, but there's nothing between the track and
there's
the airport,
nothing,
as far as I could tell. Just hills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went, we flew back. We had a good time. It was good. We'll watch it. You guys probably already seen it. But the snippet, they sent me a 2.5-minute version of it. It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you got a car. Now, Lynette wants herself a new Tesla.
Yes.
And
I saw one last night where I was going to get my haircut.
Uh-huh.
They have the Tesla SUV. And what I love about it is the front glass, the front windshield, obviously in front of you, and then it goes up and above you, and it's two big pieces of glass with a seam down in the middle. And every time I see it, I think of the truck at the end of Tango and Cash.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that truck had the same glass going all the way above. So you should get like the Tango and Cash SUV, the electric SUV version of the Tango and Cash truck. We'll mount one of those machine guns on the side.
I had a, you know, it's kind of interesting. Tesla's a little bit diabolical and they should probably push this a little harder or make it a little more accessible, whatever. The fast charge.
Yeah.
When you get the fast charge in the garage, and it's hooked up on like the 240 and you have to get an electrician to run like the conduit from the box, from the breaker box, like all the way over to the garage.
Do you hang like a Tesla charger on the wall? Is there something that they have?
Yeah. It's like their hardware.
Okay.
You hang it up. It costs $1,300. I don't know what it costs. You put it up there. The real cost is getting an electrician to heat it up. Cause like in my house, it's high voltage and it takes big thick wires that go all the way. My box is not, unfortunately, in the garage or next to the garage.
Like, if you have a laundry room on the other side of the house and the garage is, you know, way on the other side, like, because isn't that normally where you keep, where like 240 or something would be somewhere by the...
Yeah, well, in this particular case, they just got to go home run to the panel.
Yeah.
And it's a long ways.
Okay.
And so it ain't cheap to get that thing heated up. Or to get that thing.
Yeah.
And now it's in your garage.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, And I'm thinking about, well, you know, Cadillac makes a lot of nice product these days. Yeah. And I was looking online, and Audi's got some good-looking stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and she's telling me about, I want an SUV. And I'm going, well, that Cadillac or that Audi, man, that's pretty good. And then, oh, other people have like a plug-in, you know, hybrid, whatever. Mm-hmm. And every thought then returns back to that thing that cost me $3,000 to get hooked up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got to get a Tesla.
And it's right?
Like, and it's like...
But for like $69, somebody doesn't just sell like the Tesla to Audi adapter?
It's a pretty damn good thought that Max Zapata should look up because they got you by the short hairs. Because the Tesla's fine and I like the Tesla X and everything like that. But there's other stuff I like a lot too. But every time my mind strays into Audi land or Mercedes land or whatever land, I go right back to that box with the big thick conduit that's the rigid conduit and the guys I paid $2,000, they'll get up and I go, nah, I can't just have that thing gathering dust.
The charger hanging on the wall, they don't take that back when the lease returns, right? That's not included. Like, you ought to just buy that?
You buy it, but what I'm saying is, and I don't know if there's an adapter. Chris can look. I bet there isn't. But it's diabolical. And if Tesla was smarter, because we know they're smart, they'd have some sort of program where they had their certified electricians and they did it for, you know.
They bought Solar City and they, you know, so why not have those guys come
like
in?
It was like a lost leader. Because once you get that thing hooked up.
Yeah.
Your next car will be a Tesla, and the one after that will be a Tesla, because the filling station is in your garage, and the nozzle won't fit any other car.
And it already cost you $4,000 to put it there, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't find any adapter. I mean, there are a few hacks. Hacks that you can like do to do it, but you have to, and I'm sure it voids all warranty like for anything, but... people are able to do it, but it's
Silicon Valley hardware nerd company like Logitech or something that has all the accessories for your Mac and your iPhone. They don't make a Tesla to Audi adapter or a Tesla to Nissan Leaf adapter, you know, or Nissan doesn't have one. That'd be genius. For how about like Chevy Volt, like Tesla to Chevy Volt adapter or Chevy Bolt adapter?
I'm not sure if Lynette's down with the Chevy Bolt. So she wants the Tesla.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the lease pricing and stuff like that. She said she wants white. I said, good. Then she said she wanted a white interior. I said, good. But I said, get a red interior.
I sat in one last night that was white with white interior. And it was gorgeous, but every time you go with like the white interior, like if it was your car, I'd say get it. But with the kids and everything, every time you slide in and out with jeans on, it makes the seats blue. Every car show that has white interior, you go to LA Auto Show and they roll out their new SUV with the cream interior. Look at the bolster on that seat. It's screwed up. Like, it's got jean mark on it. It's definitely going to stain.
She's never going to get the white and the red, but I told her. I mean, she likes it. She goes, such a chick thing. She goes, what if I get sick of it? I'm like, I don't know. Why would you get sick of something that you love?
3 years, your lease is up.
You just love it.
Yeah, like you can't say that about Sonny and Natalia.
So they have, it's funny, they don't, it's funny. So they have,
get the red.
They have, I'm going to talk her into the red. They have the 10,000 mile a year lease, 12,000 mile and 15.
Yeah.
But the thing that's a little bit diabolical about it is they don't pass along. And like car companies are a little crappy that way too. Like I've tried to lease a car and went, give me a 10,000 or give me an 8,000 a year lease because I live 7 miles from where I work. Right. I go back and forth. That's about it. And they go, yeah, we don't have that. And it's like, yeah, but you do have the part where I go over the lease and then you tell me how expensive it is because the mileage is such a big deal and so expensive.
Yeah, where's my refund when I lease
that they do not do. And also, why don't you have an 8,000 mile? Like, why isn't it just whatever I put on the car lease?
Yeah. Because
that's what it's the residual value is whatever the mileage. Anyway.
Yeah. Why so is it all a cart?
They have 10,000. They have a lease payment for 10,000, a lease payment for 12,000, and a lease payment for 15,000. I'm going to let you guys guess per year. And you go, well, 10,000, well, 15 is 50% more driving, I mean, on the car, right? I always get the 100%, the 50%, whatever, 25%. But if 10,000 a year and 15,000 a year, that's 50% more. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Someone's got to look it up. All right. What is the payment? I'll tell you, what do you think the monthly payment is anyway, just on the 15?
Well, I don't know what the price of the truck is, but assuming it's the fully loaded truck, let's say it's $1,000 a month, $1,200 a month, if you go with all the options on it.
Okay. It's $1,331 a month.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. It's $1,357 a month. I screwed that up. $1,357 a month for the $15,000.
Okay.
Now, how much for the 12?
So the 1357, it's
for 15 a year. So
yeah, it's fewer miles, less cost. It's
1331.
Oh, and it's now, not even 50 bucks, 57 bucks cheaper.
How much for 10,000 miles? So that's significantly less over the course of over the course of 3 years. It's 45,000 miles versus 30,000 miles.
Yeah.
What is that monthly payment?
Well, if it was 1350, 1330, 1300.
1304. So they're really...
So 50...
And the thing that sucks is...
$3 difference.
A month for 5,000 a year. And so the thing that... obviously what they're saying is we're not playing ball with you.
Yeah.
Because my thing is like, Lynette may put on... $7,500 a year, miles a year, or something like that.
Doesn't
she didn't drive that much? She drives back and forth from here to gym in Pasadena or whatever it is. So it's just not physically that much. So I think good. I'm going to save some money. No, you're not going to save some. You're not going to save any money. So, I mean, you save a little bit, but not like you'd think. I mean, one is $1,304 and the other is $1,357 for 5,000 miles a year. That's
for 50% more miles.
Yeah. Now, I guarantee if you turned it in with an extra 5,000 miles on it, it wouldn't be $56.
I need to call AT&T and argue this thing about my phone bill. Because if I get a 500 minutes or 1,000 minutes or 1,500 minutes, why is it three times the cost?
Yeah. The cash price with the premium upgrade and whatever is like $93,500.
What size are we talking here? A 70, a 90? What size SUV?
I'm looking at this paperwork. My feeling is this. I know everyone's sort of range phobic.
But she's driving a D90 or something. C70 now, right? Like a 70? So...
Yeah. The round 8,000 do it. Jesus Christ.
While you're figuring this out, too, I just wanted to let you know. The article I read was old, so there is an adapter.
There is.
As of last year, yeah, $400.
And, we'll get you from that to the Leaf, that to the Volt, that to the what?
Yeah, you can.
It's got to be vehicle specific.
Yeah, sure. But they make one for everything.
Yeah, there it is right there. And you could charge it any
Tesla
station.
Now, who makes it?
Interesting. It's interesting.
This one's called the J-Daptor Sub. I think that might be the company.
So it's an independent company. It's not like you have to go to GM and say, I need the Tesla to Bolt adapter.
Correct.
Right. But they...
It's like a third party.
They have for all the different electric cars. Interesting.
First of all, there should be an industry standard, right, that they're all the same, because as we try to pop up these charging stations all everywhere in your mall or at the Grove... You know, like everybody should be able to just plug the same thing in. And I know there is some sort of universal deal, but not with the superchargers, I guess. I don't know. I don't have an electric car. Last time I tried to plug in I had the plug-in hybrid BMW and it blew the power out in my apartment. So so it's an old apartment.
So that's interesting. And I'll it opens things up. We'll still end up with the Tesla.
Yeah, the thing isn't perfect. Like there are even warnings. Like it won't work at certain superchargers. It won't work with like certain vehicles with type 2 inlets. Like there are about seven disclaimers under.
Yeah, it probably does work, but there's probably some stupid copyright protection, like on a CD or something, where it won't work with a Tesla charger, but it only works at certain shopping malls if you subscribe to their thing. By the way, these charging stations in the shopping malls, And when I was doing it years ago, when we were first testing electric cars, you couldn't just walk over and throw some quarters in the machine or something. You had to sign up online and then get a card. And it was like all like prepaid phone card stuff. Like, because they knew they would just make $4 once a year from the guy who goes to the mall. So instead, they want you to subscribe and right. and have like a service. And it was way more difficult to charge the car in a mall parking lot than it was to just take it back home and not even go to the mall, just shop at Amazon.
I do, you know, as far as range, everyone's this range phobia, but the reality is it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, you should do this with all facets of your life, everything in your life. It's my sort of SUV with the lift kit and the knobby tires or something. And people do the, what if we go camping? It's like, when's the last time you went camping? 11 years ago? No, you're probably not going
camping.
You're
probably not
going
to go.
What if I want to go camping? Like, how about you get something that works really well on the street? Like, yeah, but I want to, what if I go, and, you know, what if we go to Vegas? What if we go to the Grand Canyon? You know, it's like, then rent a Tahoe. The reality is when Lynette got the first Tesla, it was like, well, you can get the really expensive one with all the range for this much, and then you can get like the intermediate one for this much. And the difference between, and I'll screw these numbers up, but the difference between the cheapest one range-wise was like 220 to 260 or something, or 280 or something to the middle one. Right. And it's like, you have a charger in your garage, it'll charge it fully overnight. Where are you going that you need, like, okay, so what you're doing is you get up in the morning, you drive the kids to school. And then you either come home and hang out at the house, or you go to the gym in Pasadena, or you come here to the warehouse and you do a podcast, or what have you. That entire transaction is 23 miles, and that's on a busy day.
Right.
Okay. That's on a drop the kids off, come to school, go to Pasadena that night for the yoga class or something. That's a busy day. That's 23 miles. So what's the difference between 200 range and 250 range? Because either way,
bigger monthly payment.
Right, but you can just do what I said, whatever you do, you can do it for about 4 or 5 days, 6 days, a week, and then you can plug it in. Yeah. Or you can do it for 3 days and plug it in. Or you could go to Santa Barbara and back and then plug it in that night. But either way, what's the difference? And people just go, I like knowing that. And it's like, you don't need it.
Do you ever plug it in every night? Like, you ever done like 5 nights in a row or something?
It's an interesting wiring that people have. Like somebody who's very fastidious, like Paulette Gergis, Mark Gergis's wife.
Okay.
She's like very on top of everything, super that person. She plugs hers in every night. And I always say to her whenever I see it in the garage, I go, you know, Paulette, first off, I see you walking everywhere. She walks all through the neighborhood. And I always see her walking. And I go, I've never really seen you driving. And she'll go like, I'll go to Pasadena and come back. I'll go to Pasadena, have lunch, come back or something. Yeah. Okay, that's 9 miles.
Yeah.
Why are you plugging in every night? She's like, that's the way I do it. You know, and I'm like,
for her, maybe it's more just plug it in and leave it and drive it once Sunday.
No, I just think that's her thing. Her thing is just you plug it in every night. And my thing is sort of like, I respect it, but you're kind of defeating the purpose a little bit here. Like, my point is I want a 200-mile range. I want that thing to last a week. I want to plug it in Sunday night and have it fully ready to go Monday morning. And I don't want to deal with doing this every night.
What does Mark drive?
Mark drives it's perfect. He drives either, I think, a convertible turbo Porsche.
Okay.
Or he drives like a Land Rover, a Range Rover, you know, big
right,
old
right,
whatever.
Right.
Okay. He is...
Does he have the SVR?
Brand. He's on brand when it comes to his modes of transportation.
So every time the wife borrows the Porsche, does she top off the tank?
Ooh. I will I'll bring that up.
When you're walking through the neighborhood with Philly.
To piss her off next time. I don't think she borrows the Porsche. as far as I can tell.
If she did, do you think she'd top off the tank if she went 9 miles to Pasadena and back?
That's what I would say to her if I wanted to start an argument. And then at some point, because she's a woman, she'd fire back with, this is the way I do it.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to either start an argument or go have some baklava and drink some scotch with Mark upstairs.
Yeah.
Which I would do.
Yeah.
Lynette, I think, is pretty good. Lynette plugs it in kind of when she needs it. Like, she doesn't do it every night all the time, but is pretty good about plugging it in.
If you have to step over the cable to get into the house every time, then
it's behind and the house is forward. So you don't have to deal with it. I think she's got Sonny coached up.
I was just going to say, maybe Sonny likes to do it, or maybe Sonny feels like it's part of his job.
Sonny is probably wired for that. All right, you guys should be wired for Amazon Automotive. You can shop and get whatever you want there at Amazon. You can do it from your phone, do it from your computer, do it from your tablet. Free shipping on millions of items for Prime members. Massive selection on parts, accessory, fluids, whatever you like. Tires, top brands like K&N, Bilstein, Chemical Brothers, Bosch. Everything Bosch makes is good.
Yeah.
And more. Tired of looking up part numbers and reading catalogs? With Amazon, all you need is the year, make, and model. Now, that's not going to do me any good because I got these old race cars, but we get tons of stuff from Amazon. There's always stuff showing up at the other shop from Amazon. You can use the customer Q&A and product reviews to research and buy the right parts. Matt's been building his Mustang. Wait, yours isn't a Fox body?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I thought the 5.0 were Fox bodies.
Yeah, that is that. I have the 5.0. I have the Fox body.
But the original 5.0, is that Fox body too?
Yeah. Well,
the original 5.0?
They called it the 5.0, but the 302 cubic inch been around for...
I know, but the 5.0 as we know it.
Yeah.
Early 80s, mid-80s.
Fox body.
Oh, so Fox body...
Well, the Fox body actually started in like 79.
And just then, carried all the way through the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, but why is your body so much different than the 5.0 one? And don't say mine's a 5.0, because that's what Rob would say.
Yeah. It started off like 79 through like 86. I think 87 is when they kind of changed the front lights and from the four-eye lights that you're thinking
of. Fox body.
Yeah, that's that same platform.
Did not know it lasted that long. So, where was I? Amazon. So, if you got a Fox body Mustang, which you probably do mathematically, they made so many, they lasted so many years, use Amazon Automotive. And again, we get all our stuff there. Don't be a sucker. And, you know, you go to the auto parts place, it's depressing.
Yeah.
There's always some dude doing something out in the parking lot. I feel bad for him.
It's lots of...
He wants to borrow money.
It's a lot of shop stuff going on in the parking lot.
Amazon.com/auto deals is where you go. Amazon.com/auto deals. All right. We have a question you want to talk about. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about your Lexus LS Hybrid?
Well, I tell you, I was in on the weekend and I did something while working on the Fox body and... really kind of hurt my back, so I've been rolling around in the Lexus with the best massage sheets. Like, I could not stand yesterday. My back hurt so bad. So I went for a ride last night and made a couple phone calls, and after about an hour, got a nice massage.
You literally just went around the block.
I just went around the block and got a massage in the car. And so the new Lexus, by the way, is fantastic. This is the new LS. It's their new flagship car. And
it looks
hybrid. I'm not sure what's going on with you know, I get the hybrid thing, and it says I'm getting somewhere between 25 and 27 miles per gallon. And it's got some pep when you get on it. But I've gone to Long Beach. I've gone here a bunch of times. I've driven all over the place. I still have way more than a half a tank. Less than a quarter, but, you know, more than a half a tank, and it still says...
Wait, less than three quarters. Sorry, but more than half.
I have, still like 319 miles left on the tank. It's got to do 500, 550 on a tank. You could probably hyper-mile it around town and get an EV mode as much as possible and get 600.
Is there such a thing as what the question I always ask is, I'd love that car for Lynette, although she probably wants an SUV, but a version of that for Lynette, if she could just plug it in every night and use the electric.
This you don't have to plug it in. This one's not a plug-in hybrid.
But what about my adapter?
Yeah. Maybe there's some way we could make it work.
Here's what I want. And you guys who are listening, shoot me a tweet. for Lynette.
Yeah.
I want a SUV.
Uh-huh.
It can be gas and electric, but I want you to be able to fill up the gas tank, and if you choose, have it last a year because you plug it in and you can get 40 miles range or 70 miles right. range on the pure plug-in, and then people are going to chime in like Matt's about to do and go, but the engine has to start every couple
of... No, I wasn't going to say that. Because you want to plug in hybrid.
And I go, yeah, I don't care if the engine starts and cycles itself like once every week
yeah.
and runs for 4 minutes and then shuts itself off, like for a maintenance standpoint to charge the battery get the oil flowing or whatever. I'm not saying the engine can never start. I'm just saying if it has an engine in it, I don't want it to toggle back and forth between the engine and the electrical, because that still means instead of filling it up once a week, I'd fill it up every 3 weeks or what have you.
You should ask Bernard when he's filled up his Chevy Volt. I think never. Maybe once a year. I think you're right.
At Leno's shop.
Yeah, because he just goes. He lives out kind of far, but has a pretty good range, and he drives it to the garage and he plugs it in. That's why it's always parked in the same place, and then he drives it home, then he comes back and he plugs it in. I don't even think he plugs it in at home. Maybe mm-hmm. he does.
All right, well, but I don't want the Volt. It's got to be a nice right.
No, you
SUV.
Need like a good plug-in hybrid SUV. I drove that BMW 7 Series, which was a plug-in hybrid, which I liked, but they delivered it to me without a battery charge, and it blew the power in my apartment when I tried to plug it in. So what they delivered was just an underpowered 7 Series. I couldn't even use that.
Right.
But the Lexus is not a plug-in hybrid, so it's constantly charging
right. and using
the EV mode.
And what I'm saying is the difference is a lot of range between fill-ups, which means, again, I got a Jag with a 16-gallon tank and a big V8 in it, and I got to fill it up once a week. Which is a bother. And, I'll give you a perfect example. I played the Irvine Improv last week, sold out. Thank you, Irvine. And Mike August came with me, and we did a basic cable commentary, and we got one coming up in Oxnard, Levity Live, March 15th, by the way. We'll keep you posted on that. But great fun, great show. I got to my house and I was like 89 miles on the range.
Yeah.
And I had to podcast, do like 3 or 4 podcasts during the day. Then I was going to get home, just enough time to like eat dinner and change and stuff. And then I was going to jump in my car and sit in traffic all the way to Irvine for an 8 o'clock show. And there was really like, I was like, I got like 90 miles. Irvine's like 40, 50 miles away. Like maybe I can make it there and back. And me and Mike coming home from Irvine at 11:30 at night had pulled off like the 5 freeway and we're in some shitty part of town filling up because it had the Waze said I was 31 miles from home and the range said I was, 19 miles left on the whatever. We just had to get off the freeway and gangbanger land and fill up our expensive Jag. That's what I don't want. That's what I don't want about it.
Right.
I'm going to be able to just plug it in the night before or even come home and plug it in or whatever. No, I got enough to get there and back.
Right. Or send Dylan to fill it up.
I should have. I made a mistake. I dropped the ball. It was kind of weird because I had like 100 miles when I was sitting here feeling pretty good about myself, but I realized Irvine and back, and it kind of burnt it up.
Yeah.
It's not that accurate sometimes.
It's automatic.
That was a rough drive,
almost
too, at that
anybody
time.
Here can drive it because it's an automatic.
Yeah.
Almost anybody.
All right. Do your business.
Yeah. So listen, Geico.
Mm.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off your drive cleaning. You pick up some milk, and now
I
you
like
should
that you
add...
call dry cleaning drive cleaning.
Oh,
you just called it drive clean. That means you're a gearhead.
That's where my head's at. By the way, I don't think I've ever gone to a dry cleaner. I don't think I've gone.
Why?
To a dry
you're not
cleaner.
Even close to a celebrity. Why don't you go?
is there non-celebrity dry cleaners? Is there average Joe's dry cleaners?
I'm gonna bust your hymen. How about you pick up some of my dry cleaning after the show?
All right, if you have any gas in your car, maybe.
Oh, snap.
Well, you should add saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance to your list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
I got to say, you guys tell me how you're wired. Mike's in the car. We're sitting there and gang infested. I don't know where off the five. It's like 11:30 night on a
Mike's
Thursday
like,
night.
You fill it up.
And I'm sitting there holding the thing down in the empty Arco. And I get to like 5 gallons. And I'm like, all right, this is more than enough to get me home, to get me to the shop the next day. And then Dylan can go fill it up. Like, I'm way past that point. I got 100 miles range and I got 19 miles to go.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's a waste. I'm here. It's hooked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's hooked up and it's here. And I find myself just like looking over my shoulder and you see some scary kids go by in a 10 speed, you know, and you're like, who are those dudes? Like, what's going on? I'm standing out like a sore thumb because I'm driving a Jag in the middle of this town. But I'm also staring at the gas meter and I'm like, I got to fill you up.
You got
I can't break this into two parts.
Plus, you were at an Arco, and Arco charges the 35-cent flat fee no matter what.
No, oh, no. Yeah. I might not have been at Arco.
Unless you pay cash. So that's what annoys me about the Arco.
Yes. All right. Washington, D.C., Kennedy Center, coming up, what is that, this Friday, this next Friday, this coming Friday?
When's the Super Bowl?
February 9th. When is that?
Yeah, a week from today. So
a week
next
from
Friday,
today.
This Friday, however you want to say it.
Yeah, whatever you want to say. Phoenix, the GCU Arena. That's February 27th with Dennis Prager. We love him. Sacramento. All sorts of live shows. Go to amcorolla.com for all that. Go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. Look, we got to pay for that damn Tesla, man.
Someone has to.
Someone's got to buy some Mangria or, you know, some of the Endless Rant.
They got a new lager, right?
The lager's excellent. Love the lager. So anyway, go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. Shift and Steer, Podcast One. That's Matt's.
Thank you.
Wiggle over there. It's his joint. And until next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Moderator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.